Hello, you're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
Well, we're going to look into the Word of God this morning, and the passage is in Romans, the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, and we're going to look at that in just a second. If you're opening your Bibles to that, I'm going to start reading in verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. Such a beautiful passage of Scripture, and the sermon in a sentence lives in here, but I think the whole passage is just such an important portion and so encouraging and challenging. Verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. And this morning I pray that my words would be clear and Lord, that we would receive your truth with clarity so that we can apply it with confidence. And Father, I know that you have something for each one here this morning. And so we open ourselves to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, and pray that you might do an enduring, challenging, and positive work in each of our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our sermon today is called to Compete. Competition, we're called to compete. And you know, competition can be a way of improving our performance. When we're in a competition, we want to do better than the other guy. We're going to be competing against them to be the best. And if the competition is structured right, then there's some kind of benefit. And competition, of course, we think of as sports, but it's not only sports. Competition could be a positive thing. Maybe airline pilots, to see which can be the most skillful, the most prepared in an emergency. That would be a competition. Or competition among nurses to see which are best able to assist in the healing of their patients. That could be a very positive competition. Fire departments have drill teams. Don't think pom-poms. Think firemen using their skills with hoses and, you know, competing against other fire departments to see which have the highest level of skills in these important firefighting techniques. And so competition can be a good thing. On a personal level, my son-in-law, Craig Marlowe, Craig is always thinking up some competition to lose weight or add muscle or to develop an important habit in his life or challenging some young person to do this or that and jumping into the competition with them. So competition can be a very good thing. And we are called to compete in one particular area, which we'll get to in a minute. Just to say this, not all competition is a good thing. Like in your marriage, do not compete. We always tell couples, complete, don't compete. You know, you have certain skills, your spouse has certain skills, and when God brings you together, they're complementary, they're supplementary, they come together. I mean, who wants to go the rest of their life in a gotcha game with somebody else? Don't compete in your marriage. And even within the church, we're called the body of Christ, and your body cooperates with the other parts of the body. And we're called parts of Christ's body. And so within the body of Christ, there's not competition, but there's cooperation, there's interdependence, and so that God's purpose and mission on earth can be fulfilled. In fact, if you think about your own body, if there's some place in your body that's in competition with the other part of your body, that's cancer, right? There's something there that wants to grow and push out other people taking resources that your body needs. And so the competition that we're talking about today is a very good and a godly competition. And it lives in verse 10 of our passage, which says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so, can we say that together just to get it in our minds? It's up on the screens. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. A few other translations translated it this way. Be the best at showing honor to one another. Another one said, as to honor, each taking the lead in paying it to the other. Another translation, excel at showing respect for each other. Another, esteeming one another more highly in honor. Another, take delight in honoring each other. And Eugene Peterson in the Message, practice playing second fiddle. Outdo one another in showing honor. There's a lot that I have in this message, and so rather than have to go through it ponderously, what I did is there's, I think on the bottom of your bulletin notes, it says you can find sermon resources on our website. If you just go there, the whole outline with all the verses are there so that you can have some of that, because this, as somebody said coming out of the service, this message had an application for everybody. I mean, everybody. And so maybe you're going to want to say before you apply this, maybe I better check out if Pastor Mike has this right. And so if you go to the sermon resources on our website, you can do that. Well, first of all, what is honor? Honor is high respect or great esteem. To honor someone is to regard them with great respect, to have a high regard for them. Now, the scripture says to outdo one another in showing honor. Olympic athletes attempt to outdo each other in order to obtain honor. But Christians not merely show honor, but try to outdo one another in showing honor, preferring that honor be given to others. Do we only honor the honorable? Do we only honor the honorable? That's an important question, because if it says outdo one another in showing honor, who do we give this honor to? And what about people who, in our minds at least, don't deserve the honor? Well, in 1 Timothy 6:1, it says, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. And so let's look at that for a second. He's actually talking about employees honoring their employers. And think about it. Does your employer always act honorably? They probably not. And I think it was probably true back then in Bible times too. And yet the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wrote through Timothy and said, he said, tell them that all those who are under a yoke as bondservants to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Wow. But he also gives it such an important reason there. It says, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Why do we give honor to people who in our minds don't deserve honor? So that God's name isn't reviled. Because when you identify as a Christian, your name and his name are all intertwined together. And when we give honor to people that we don't think deserve honor, we're doing it for a very high reason. So that God's name isn't reviled. So that God's teaching isn't undermined. This is an application for all of us, because all those people that the Apostle Paul was talking about there were not all honorable people, and yet he says, give them all honor. Give them all honor. So let's talk about this for just a second. When we think about it, who do we honor and how do we honor in everyday life? And we have a neighbor behind us that is like a collector of things, cars and all kinds of equipment, and now there's a camper back there. And we get to know him a little bit, but you know, I always said, well, Gary, he collects so much junk and the whole house is full of junk in the yard, but he's so quiet. You know, at least, and we're very close to this neighbor, so it's just nice to have a quiet neighbor. Well, he decided to invite some guys to room with him, and all of a sudden, they're not quiet at all. And these guys, Gary's still quiet, but these guys sit in the backyard all day long playing loud music, and it's just really annoying, you know? And so yesterday, what a beautiful day, right? Just like today, so nice. And you think, throw the windows open, turn the air conditioning off, let it. But we had our windows shut, and Mary's, you know, still trying to do some work. And she said, okay, Mike, we got to move. You know, I mean, and their choice of music. I mean, you know, just crazy, you know, heavy metal. Anyway, so I said, I should just go over there. So I went over there, and I said, you know, hey, guys, I'm your neighbor right there, you know, it's very close. And I'm just making an appeal to you. I said, I don't want you to not enjoy your life and your yard, but I'd like to be able to enjoy my life and my yard, too. And if you just turn the music down some, that would be great. Because anyway, and they said, sure, we'll do that. Now we'll see I said it's not just an August 10th problem. It's happening every day. So, you know, I'm just thinking about this, not just for this afternoon, but they said, yeah, we got it. So we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen, but I tried. I'm preaching on this today, you know. I mean, God always sets me up for these situations. I said, I need to treat these guys with honor because God's got a bigger thing in mind than my comfort about whether I like the noise of my neighbors or not. What about these guys in the Lord? They need the Lord, just like your neighbors do. And so there's a bigger agenda than just my comfort and Mary's comfort, but these guys need the Lord. So I'm praying for them, and we'll see what God does, and I'll keep you posted on how it's going. But, you know, we treated them with respect. John Piper said this, you can honor a person for whom you have no affection. Honoring someone is treating them with your deeds and your words as worthy of your service. They may not be worthy of it, but you can do it anyway. Some honoring means treating people better than they deserve. Well, who do we honor? I mean, who do we have to show this toward? Well, first of all, to God. You probably expect to start there, but that is an important place to start. We're starting with God. Now, in this text where it says, it's in Romans 12, it's really talking about the horizontal level, but vertically, we are told to honor God. It says in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, those who honor me, I will honor. God said that. Those who honor me, I will honor. And some of you might remember, and it's been a long way now, but the movie Chariots of Fire. And in that movie, Eric Liddell, who was a track star for England during the 1924 Olympics, had a race, the 100-meter race, that was his race, but it was scheduled to run on Sunday, and he said, I can't run in that race. I can't compete on Sunday. He was pressured to do so, but he held his own. And so they entered him in the 400-meter race, which was not his race. That he was a sprinter, 400 meters was more. He'd never won at that level before. This was the Olympics. But he was entered in that, and he gets ready to compete. And he said, this is my strategy. The secret of my success is that I run the first 200 meters as fast as I can. Then for the second 200 meters, with God's help, I run faster. And so that was what he was hoping for. And as he was getting ready to race, an American track star, who was a believer, pressed a scripture into his hand. This scripture, those who honor me, I will honor. And he ran with that scripture clenched in his hand, and he won the gold medal and set a new world record in the 400-meter at the Olympics there. Those who honor me, I will honor, God says. Also says the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Part of the reason we do that is not just with our lips, but with our decisions. It says in the book of Proverbs, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats bursting with new wine. So honor God. Honor God. Second, honor marriage, your marriage vows and those of others. Honor marriage, your marriage vows and those of others. Hebrews 13, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And so maybe you're not married, but we need to honor marriage and honor the wedding vows, the marriage vows of other people. And if you are married, the Bible says, honor marriage by keeping your vows. To husbands, specifically to husbands, in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Showing honor. Now, look at that verse. Just want to, don't get stuck. It says that we are heirs with us of the grace of life. So I'm a guy, my wife is an heir with me of the grace of life. That speaks of our equality in the Lord. Speaks of that in the book of Galatians as well. It says it's not male or female in that sense, that we have different roles, but in terms of our identity, we have an equality before God. But what about the weaker vessel part? Well, men are just built differently than women. And in most sports, men don't compete with women. But I know that there's women who are very strong and able. I mean, Ryan Bolton here, for one. I mean, look, Ryan is not tall, and she's not large. But when it comes time to turn this auditorium over and make this into something else for a special meetings or something, and she gets her family going, I mean, she, Eric, is she a dynamo or what, right? And he's nodding. And so I know. So a weaker vessel doesn't mean that every woman is weaker than every man physically. It just means that women and men are built differently. And so we want to give them honor. We want to give them honor. Weaker does not, by the way, women are living longer than men, right? And so not weaker in that way for sure. So don't stumble over that part. Think about this. The Apostle Peter, writing by the Holy Spirit, says, grant her honor. Grant her honor. That's our job, men. And if you're thinking, you know, I'm praying, but some of my prayers aren't getting answered, maybe it's because you're not doing that, because it says so that your prayers may not be hindered. Honor your wife. Give her the gift of honor. And wives also to husbands. It says in the book of Ephesians, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. Let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. It's a way of showing honor, to show respect. And it said to the husbands there, love your wives. Love your wives. And I would say that at the margin, what we always need more of, I would say most women always need more love. But guys, on the other hand, at the margin, always need more respect. I think that's just how we're built. Do women need respect? Absolutely. Do men need love? Absolutely. Don't hear what I'm not saying, but I'm saying, women, if you understand the need of your husband for love, women, if you understand the need that men have in general for respect, you will find that's a key to unlocking things in his life. And men, if you understand the importance that of loving your wife, you will unlock something very important in her as well. I've shared it at weddings before that the song that I always think of about Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Aretha Franklin, is the song Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But you know, that song was written by a guy. She made it popular, but Otis Redding wrote that song. Otis Redding said, "Give me respect. That's what I need. That's what I need." So when we are in our marriage relationship, we want to honor the wedding vows of all people. Husbands, we want to honor our wives. Wives, we want to honor our husbands. Third group we want to honor is parents. It's in the Big Ten, honor your father and mother. And Paul, he reinforces that in Ephesians chapter 6 by quoting it. And it says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." There's a promise there. There's a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. It is right to give honor to your parents, to give honor to your father, to give honor to your mother. Both of them are included there. And there's no age limit here. As long as you have parents who are alive, you have a duty, an obligation to honor them. You have a desire to honor them. I hope you have a duty to honor them, no matter how long. Now, it's different when you're 12 and you're living at home. You have a different obligation. That's an obligation to not only honor them, but to obey them. And the scripture talks about that too. But no matter how old you are, if you have living parents, we need to give them honor. What about parents who aren't honorable? Well, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Honor those in authority. That's the next group. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says this. I think I didn't write that scripture down. I'll read it off the screens. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. And so the Apostle Peter is writing to people about following and giving honor to a government system that was oppressive. And the emperor that he's talking about is Nero. And so he's basically saying, you know, because God has allowed in his sovereignty these to be over you, give them appropriate honor. Give them appropriate honor. Craig Rochelle from Life Church wrote this. He said, "I was invited to speak at a leadership event that was to span several days. I spoke on Thursday. Then on Friday, former President George W. Bush and his wife Laura were scheduled to speak. That Friday afternoon, as we were waiting for the President and First Lady to arrive, I was visiting casually with the gentleman seated next to me. I learned that he was not a fan of President Bush at all. He told me, I didn't vote for him, I never liked him, I didn't agree with his policies, but that was just the warm-up. This guy went on and on specifying the things he didn't approve of and why. Suddenly a door opened and a soldier walked in carrying the flag of the United States of America. Hail to the Chief began to play and everyone in the room rose to their feet cheering and clapping. The President walked in holding the First Lady's hand. I glanced sideways at this man standing next to me, the man who couldn't stand the guy, and tears were streaming down his face. He was clapping and smiling broadly. At that moment, this man was not a Democrat or Republican. He wasn't a fan of President Clinton or President Obama. He wasn't a critic of President Bush. He was simply a citizen of the United States, freely offering honor, if not to the man, at least to the office. The feeling in the room was electric. Everyone there showed honor." And Craig Rochelle goes on to say, "We're supposed to show honor not only to powerful people in government, but to all those who are in authority over us. If you play sports, show honor to your coach. If you're a student, honor your teachers. If you have a mentor, show them honor. Honor your boss. And if you believe deep down that you're smarter than your boss, you still need to show that person honor. Maybe you'd like to be the boss someday. Before you can learn to be over, you have to learn to be under. Practice being under by showing honor to those people that God has put over you." Honor those in authority. Honor church leaders. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Finally, and maybe we should have started with this one, this is actually in the scripture, honor everyone. It's in 1 Peter 2:17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Remember, that's Nero, the Roman emperor. And so the Bible says, honor everyone. Give the gift of honor to everyone. Every human being was made in God's image. And so God tells us to honor them. How do we show honor? How do we show honor? If God commands it, we best be doing it. And as we answer our call to compete in showing honor toward one another, he'll show us the way. First of all, let's start with the motivation of honoring God. Because when we honor God, we are going to be more motivated to show honor to others. One person wrote, talking about the subject, I'm convinced that the reason our culture is known worldwide, this is not a good thing. The reason our culture is known worldwide as a place of dishonor is that we as a culture have dishonored God. And all true honor is born out of a heart surrendered to the King of Kings. Our culture tends to treat God as common. We're too familiar with him. We refer to him as the man upstairs or the big guy, or we say things like, Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is not your homeboy. He is the soon-to-return, ruling, reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. When he comes back, he will bear a sword. He is the righteous one who shed his blood so we could live. So when we honor God as God, it's going to help us to outdo one another in showing honor to each other. Living with honor reminds us of who we really are, who God is, and how much he loves those around us. When we place our selfish egos on the altar of honor, we become aware of the value that God places on each and every life, including our own. In Malachi chapter 1, God is speaking. He said, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? And if God gets our honor, then we won't have a problem honoring those that he has made in his image. Do you know that Jesus honored the Pharisees? In Matthew 23, which is a chapter full of woe to you Pharisees, and there's seven times that Jesus says, woe to you. It starts out with these verses. Jesus said to the crowds, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you. But do not do the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. That's where that verse came from. Practice what you preach. But Jesus said, they sit in Moses' seat. Do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. As we consider others made in the image of God, how can we try to hold another person down? Just another thought about this too. Inviting dishonor does not confer honor on another person. Don't think that if you invite another person to dishonor you, somehow that confers honor on them. Doesn't happen. The Bible says that they should be outdoing themselves to honor you as well. So don't invite people to dishonor you thinking that somehow that honors them. So there's motivation because God deserves our honor and he tells us to honor those he made in his image. And then there's demonstration. If you look at the verse that we have, it says, outdo one another in thinking honor. What does it say? Outdo one another in feeling. No, it says outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. So it should be demonstrated, not just felt. So some specific cases. How do we honor criminals? Well, if we were the one against whom the crime was committed, we should forgive them. We should forgive them because that's our obligation. Remember when we studied the Lord's Prayer? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And so God says, we're really telling God, to the extent that I'm a forgiver, you can forgive me. But I would say this too, with regard to criminals, by not letting them go. They should receive justice. A fair justice system shows honor to criminals. That if you and I commit the same crime under the same circumstances, that we would receive the same penalty, and that that penalty would be suitable for the crime. And so to let criminals not pay, I don't think shows honor to them, but I think it shows honor that we have a justice system that is truly fair. How do we honor those who have wronged us? Maybe they're not criminals. Maybe they're just people relationally who have wronged us. They did something wrong. Well, first of all, by not taking our own revenge, but leaving that to God. Didn't we read that in Romans chapter 12? Beloved, do not take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. For vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so your sense of personal justice may have been violated by what happened, but you show honor to God and to those he created by releasing them and not taking revenge. Listen, let them off your hook. They're still on God's hook. And God says in that passage, you read it along with me, "I will repay," says the Lord. He's got it. You don't need to try to get vengeance on a person who has wronged you. The second way we honor those who sin against us is by being willing to rebuild trust. Forgiveness is an act whereby we choose not to hold what they did against them. Reconciliation is a process in which a relationship is restored and trust is rebuilt. One is an act, forgiveness. The other is a process, restoration. So we should be open to that. We should be open to that. But trust needs to be rebuilt, and that doesn't happen immediately. It may take a while. In some cases, it could take years to rebuild trust. But the fact that we're willing to be open to that relationship again is an important thing. How do we honor those who have chosen a lifestyle that the Scripture does not affirm? How do we honor those that have chosen a lifestyle that Scripture does not affirm? Well, I would say first, don't fudge what you believe. It does not honor someone to decide that they can't process the truth that you believe. It's not wrong to, in a kind way, in a loving way, to share what you believe with people who have a different view than you do. That's not wrong at all. Galatians 6:10 says this, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." Do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, I'm going to give an example that actually John Piper gave in a writing that he did, but I agree with it. And he said, suppose new neighbors come into your neighborhood, and it's two men or two ladies who are living a gay lifestyle. He said, bake them a cake, take it over there, bless them, welcome them to the neighborhood. He said, but if they come to you and say, "Hey, listen, we're actually getting married and we'd like you to bake a cake to celebrate our wedding," he said, "I don't think that you should do that." That's his opinion, but I agree with that. He said, serving someone and celebrating something they're doing is a different thing. And as one person said, we love everyone, but that doesn't mean we affirm every lifestyle. And that's a hard word, but I think that's where we need to live. We need to love everybody, without exception. And not make one sin worse than every other sin. But also, we shouldn't celebrate what God doesn't celebrate. And so, when we look at that, we need to understand that serving and celebrating aren't different. One more thing about demonstration. We demonstrate honor by our habits and our posture. In Leviticus, and there's other verses in the Bible about this, but in Leviticus 19 it says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." And so I think it's a good idea, and it shows honor when somebody's talking to us to look them in the eye. I think it shows honor when someone enters the room to stand up. Put your phone down when you're engaged in a conversation with somebody. Put your phone down when you're engaged in a conversation with somebody. These show honor. These show honor. If you're thinking, well, how do I honor my parents? Maybe just looking them in the eye when they're talking to you would be a way of showing honor to your parents. On Friday night, we had the joy of having Katie's oldest two kids, David and Abby, spend the night with us. And so they had dinner with us, and we went on a walk at Sunken Meadow. And Emma was with us as well. And so we're walking along, and we saw a lot of people that we knew. And we were kind of walking along and stopping and talking, walking along, and they were like, you know, just kind of like, what are we doing, you know? And anyway, so we thought, well, we just have to kind of keep going here, you know? And so we're walking along, and I see Paul Habers walking towards me the other way. And Paul is almost always there at Sunken Meadow, giving out tracts, representing the Lord. But we decided to keep going, so I just stuck my hand and said, "Paul, great to see you." And then we kept going, you know, and he shook my hand. And so, like, the next person we see, Abby sticks out her hand and says, "Hey, how you doing?" And the person is looking at her like, "Who are you?" She's 5 years old, but she had this really great look at her. She says, "Hey, how are you?" And so what is it? She just thought, well, how do I show honor? I saw Pops do that, so I guess it's the thing to do. And so showing honor by greeting people, by showing friendliness toward them. Now, I know that as we listen to a message such as this one, we tend to personalize it to the most difficult person in our life to show honor to. How do I show honor to? And you fill in the blanks of the person that's hardest. And just two closing thoughts as we close the message this morning. Number one is this: don't miss God's command to show honor to everyone in your life as you agonize how to show honor to the hardest person in your life. This is something, it just says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Because you can't run a marathon doesn't mean you can't take a brisk walk. Because you can't figure out calculus doesn't mean you can't balance your checkbook. Because you can't think of how you're going to possibly honor that one person that's so difficult to honor doesn't mean you can't honor the other people in your life, because God says, get into the competition. Outdo one another in showing honor. And think what a transforming effect it would have on our marriages and on our homes and on this church and even on our community if all of a sudden we just said, I'm in. I'm going to enter the competition to outdo everyone in showing honor to the people around me. It will transform us. It will. It will. Don't wait for another. You start. You start. In the hard cases, second thought, if our intent is right, God will show us the way. Others have taken the initiative to show honor, and God has honored them for it. You may be familiar with the story of Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympic athlete. He ran in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin and was drafted into the service and served as an airman in World War II. And while they were on a flight looking for a plane that was missing, they were shot down, and he spent 47 days in a raft without food and the only water being rainwater, 47 days. That's the longest they know of anybody who survived in a raft. Think about it. If 47 days in a raft, you would have If you got out of the raft this morning, you would have been in that raft since June 25th. You would have spent the last week of June, all of July, and all of August until now in that little raft floating around in the Pacific. They were strafed. And when they got out of the raft, they were captured by the Japanese, and he was tortured exceedingly in a Japanese POW camp. He was beaten unmercifully, but he survived. There's a book about him that Laura Hildebrand wrote called Unbroken. Very excellent book. He came home as a war hero, but the war was still raging inside of him. He became addicted to alcohol. He had awful dreams. One night he found himself strangling his wife. He came to Christ at a Billy Graham Los Angeles crusade and never had another nightmare. That was his testimony. From the time I accepted Christ, I never had another nightmare. He felt God was leading him to go back to Japan to forgive those who had so cruelly mistreated him. One of his recurring themes was forgiveness, and he visited many of the guards from his POW days to let them know that he had forgiven them. This included an October 1950 visit to Sagamo Prison in Tokyo, where many war criminals were imprisoned, and he expressed forgiveness to them. Zamperini told CBM that some had become Christians in response. You know, Louis Zamperini could have found personal freedom by forgiving those who had so terribly mistreated him. And that would have been his obligation before the Lord, and he did that. In fact, when he forgave his captors, he said to his brother, "The war is over. The war is over." But he showed honor to his God and to those that, even though they were so awful to him, were nevertheless those that God has made in his image and those he died for, those prison camp guards, and he went to there where they were and extended his forgiveness to them and opened up the pathway to God's forgiveness for them. How hard was that? And I just have to say, I have no idea. I think harder than, we'll just leave it there. God can give you the strength to show honor to everyone, including those who are the toughest. Let's stand for closing prayer. Will you join the competition? Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Would you just say, I'm applying that. Maybe you're married this morning to my marriage. In your family, I'm applying that to my children. I'm applying that to my parents. Outdo one another in showing honor. In the workplace, at school, on a team, in an extended family relationship that's difficult, I'm going to outdo in showing honor. Father, I pray that you would cause a transformation to happen in us and also through us as we take up your challenge, as you have called us to compete in showing honor. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name.